You know, I think the main point, I know the main point is not for us to come together and rely on our own strengths or abilities, but to trust in God. So that's my desire for myself and for all of us here today, that we would do that more and more. And this is the day that we look towards Christ's resurrection. And I just brought up just a few things together just to bring to our mind things that I feel like the Lord was wanting me to meditate on, and so that's what we'll do. There are a few things that I think are important to remember is that the resurrection is all about new life. Where there was death, now there is a new life. And that life is made available to us. It's a believer's hope that when we put our faith in Christ, that it's not just for this life that we have hope to live for Him, but it's for eternity. It's also a demonstration of God's power to raise the dead. It was God's work that raised Jesus. And our confidence is that He will do the same for us at the right time, that He has the power available to do that, and He has promised to do that. It was the same power that He demonstrated at creation, and it also is a demonstration that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was sufficient to remove our sins from us. So if Christ hadn't lived a perfect life in complete obedience to God, then his sacrifice, he would have paid for his own sin. But since he was sinless, that God accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. And there's a verse in Ezekiel 18 that it's Ezekiel 18 verses 19 and 20. And you see the Israelites have been thinking that a child would bear the weight of their parents' sins. Like if a father sinned, that somehow their child would bear the penalty of their sins. But God was correcting them in that by saying that he, in this case the son, will not die for his father's sins. He will surely live, but his father will die for his own sins because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was wrong among the people, or among his people. Yet, you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father, since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep all my decrees? He will surely live. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. And so, that the person who sins is the one who will die, but the person who is righteous will live. Christ was righteous. He was sinless. Therefore, for God to be completely just, he had to rise from the dead. There are predictions of the resurrection in the Old Testament. I think the one that's probably most noticeable is Psalm 16, verses 9 and 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you leave your Holy One to see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And that was a prediction by David that he, the Holy One, which is Christ, the Deliverer, would not see decay. Jesus himself told that what would happen, that he would die on a cross and that he would rise on the third day. There are many instances of that in the Gospels. Just a few of those are Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Chapter 17:9 in Matthew also. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And chapter 20, verse 19, starting at 17. Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." And John chapter 2, starting at verse 19. And this is when Jesus cleansed the temple. In other words, he drove all the money changers out of the temple that were making money there. And the Pharisees asked him by what authority he did that. And this is what he said. Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous signs can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. And I believe that Jesus makes it very clear what is going to happen as far as his death and his resurrection. He made this clear to the disciples. And he's making that clear to us also, here recorded in his word. I believe he wanted us to, looking back, recognize that he was telling us the truth about who he is and what he came to do, and that everything that he said to us, that we can really put our trust in and believe him. And so Jesus had a purpose, I believe, in declaring these things to us, that we might be strengthened, that we might fully put our hope in him. And after Christ's death and resurrection, of course, he spent in his resurrected body, spent many days with the apostles and the disciples, teaching them and preparing them for the things that that were ahead that they would need to know. The fact of Christ's resurrection was an important part of the apostles' teachings. In Acts chapter 3, verse 15, and this is Peter speaking here. And just a thought there also that, in the beginning of Acts, Peter was like a different person when he began proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through him. And just before that, when Jesus was being taken away by the rulers, the religious rulers, that he denied Christ 3 times. And I believe that Peter is an example to us of the strength, the power that comes through the new life in Christ. But anyway, chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in His name, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. And chapter 4, verse 10 of Acts, Peter also, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And I think I'll need to backtrack just a little bit here, but back to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourself know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And that's when I spoke earlier that Christ was sinless, and that for God to be completely just, that death could not hold Christ. And let's go to Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 26. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet, in condemning him, they fulfilled the works of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When he had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. And the believer's hope in Christ and his resurrection in the new life is that we too, just as we were identified with the death of Christ on the cross, that we are identified with him in his resurrection. It's like Jesus is the first fruits in everything. Jesus takes first place in everything. And so it started with Jesus, and through faith in him, we not only have our sins covered by his death on the cross, but also we have a new life, not just for now, but also for eternity, with him. And so let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey its evil desires. Let's try chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. We have been united with Him like this in His death. We will certainly, if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Well, I think the main verse there was 4 and 5, that Jesus, who is alive in heaven, that we have been identified with Him, and that's how God sees us, alive with Christ. And let's take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. As I mentioned earlier, that there's a hope that that we have through the resurrection of Christ. That let me just read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. I'm sure I'm not explaining this well, but it's through faith in Christ that that we enter into this new life relationship with Him. And it's part of the believer's goal is to grow and mature in every area of Christ's life. So, I feel like I'm at a loss here. Sorry. Let's, instead of me just kind of babbling on up here, let me pray, and then, maybe we can go get Susie, and we're gonna have communion, and then we'll finish up. Well, dear Lord, I do put my trust in You that somehow that You'll use our time coming together today. And Lord, I just recall that what's impossible with us is possible with You. And so I thank You for that promise to us that even in our weakness, which is very apparent, that Your power is available. So I pray that You would empower Your word to us, and just how it was spoken this morning. And, Lord, that You would reveal to us, in a deeper way, what's available to us and the hope that we have, as we look toward Your resurrection. That, that this new life is available to us also. So I thank You for that. And I pray that You would continue to use the circumstances of today to open our eyes. Lord, that our worship would be pleasing to You and that it would be honoring to You. So Lord, I thank You for just the way You have made things today. And we pray that You would be glorified in our lives more and more. And we do look forward to Your coming, Your return. And I just pray that You would keep in our hearts and minds that You are alive and that we're not living for just this temporary time here on earth, but that we're living for eternity. So we thank You for the promise that You have provided for us through the resurrection. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.